not a problem. It's, you know, the subject material's fantastic. If I mess up, the Lord knows. You know, I'm a music guy, I'm not a preacher. But you know what? God's word is great, and we're just going to do the best we can. And we prepared one tonight called Secured by Christ and Secured in Christ. So what does it mean to be secured by Christ and secured in Christ? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to speak. Lord, I just pray that you would hide me. Don't let me be the focus of the attention. Let the word of God be the focus. And Lord, I just pray that you would have the word of God speak to hearts of the people here tonight. And help me not to be, nervous, but I just pray that you would help me to make it plain and clear. In Christ's name, amen. So as a believer, can you say that you've never doubted your salvation? How many of you can say you've never doubted your salvation? Never doubted it. Never in a... Okay, that's good. You're a very secure Christian. That's good. More than 99% of it have doubted our salvation. I know I have. It's a hard thing because, you know what? We tend to not believe what God says. I mean, it's God, and God doesn't lie. So first we're going to examine what was done to secure our salvation. Then we'll delve in to see what happens, what it means to be secure in our salvation. But first of all, the only person who really knows if you're secured by Christ is who? God. God is the only one that knows. His word tells us that what we're to do to be secure in Christ, and guess what? It's already been done for us. We don't have to do anything. All we have to do is trust. All we have to do is accept. All we have to do is receive Christ. What do? You receive a free gift? Nothing. You just take it. So that's what God has for us, a free gift. It's called eternal life. It's called being secured by Christ. In Ephesians 1:7, it says in the Bible, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. In 1 Peter chapter 3:18, the Bible says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Hebrews chapter 9 says, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So salvation is something that we cannot secure by ourselves. There's nothing we can do. We must allow Christ to pay the personal price for our sins. Must be Christ, nothing added, and he must be the one that draws. I have yet to see somebody who is dead in trespasses and sins. Somebody who is dead, their spirit is dead. I've yet to hear anybody that has accepted Christ and never heard anything about Christ, but they get right off the floor. They were dead, their spirit is dead, and they get saved without hearing anything about Christ, without having the opportunity to know what Christ has done for them. I mean, it's amazing to me that somebody can say, well, I did this, I did this, I did this, and now I'm going to heaven. I didn't do anything. Christ did it all. I didn't do one thing to secure my salvation. Jesus Christ did it all. I didn't do one thing, not even one thing. I didn't even have the wherewithal to go and seek Christ. He had to come and seek for me. There was an old Christmas cantata that we sang, I don't know, first sang it about 20 years ago, I guess. One of those songs in there was called Seeking for Me. Jesus was seeking for me until I finally accepted him. But he was seeking for me actively. It wasn't me. I wasn't doing anything to seek for Christ. He was seeking me. So Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord hath appeared of old time unto me, saying, yea, have I loved you with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. John 6:65, and he said, therefore I say unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given of him by my Father. And right after this verse, the Pharisees and a lot of the disciples that they thought they were Jesus' disciples, they turned around and follow the Lord no more because they didn't understand that Jesus did it all. And they finally said, oh, I mean, I didn't have anything to do with my salvation? And Jesus, no, you can't do anything except they were given to you by my Father. Oh, wow. They turned around and they didn't walk with him anymore because they had the pride problem. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You hath he quickened. Again, have never seen anybody get off the morgue table and stand up, their body being dead, and they raise it. It's kind of like the spirit. Your spirit's not going to raise itself from the dead. For by grace ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me, the Bible says in the New Testament. Without Christ, it's impossible for you to save yourself. I mean, who among you asked God to save you before you knew who God was and what Jesus did on the cross to secure your salvation? Without knowing any of this, did anybody come to Christ? No, it was impossible. You have to understand what was done. You have to understand the gift. You have to understand what Jesus Christ did for you. You could not do for yourself. Now I want to talk to you about deep inside your heart of hearts. Are you saved? Are you a born-again believer? Things that you can know about yourself to be secured by Christ, that you know you're saved. Do you long to sin and find pleasure in sin without conviction of the Holy Spirit? If you can go out and do all sorts of nonsense, sin, live like the devil, and you aren't convicted, I have seriously doubts that you're saved. You can sin in your life, but without conviction of the Holy Spirit, you're not a true child of God. Yes, sin is pleasurable, and self-enablement is joyful for a season, but if you can do that and not have some kind of a, you know, I feel like a dirty dog when I sin. I mean, just, you know, you're sinners by nature. You're also sinners by choice. You choose to sin. I mean, there, God makes a way of escape every time. Guess what? I don't take that way all the time. And it sickens me to my heart that there it is. There's the way of escape. And I do it. I blew it again. You know, I mean, it's tough. But those that are a true believer of sin, they immediately feel God's convicting power in their hearts. What does your inner self tell you in relation to the Holy Scripture about your personal salvation and your relationship to Jesus Christ? Do you enjoy a chance to read the Bible, to have alone time with God? Do you enjoy the chance to witness of how Jesus saved you? I mean, even if you don't know the Bible, you can just go to your neighbor and you can tell them, you know, I've been changed. Jesus Christ saved me. You can tell your conversion story. I mean, it's just as simple as that. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to know all the scriptures. All you have to do is tell what Jesus did in my life. Do you meditate on the things of God with real enjoyment and real curiosity? I mean, these are things to just kind of think about. Are you secure in Christ? Only God knows for sure. Goodness, being good is a false, it's a false placebo. It's a false sign. Don't misunderstand me. Goodness is not a sign of true belief. I know many good people are on their way to hell. But where is your goodness motivated from, or where is it directed? Is it what you can get out of it? Is it for what you can get out of it, satisfaction, perks, self-promotion? Or is it to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ? What or who motivates you to do good things? You ever think about that? What or who will motivate you to do good things? So that's basically talking about being secured by Christ. But what makes you secured in Christ? Can you go back to a time when you were not a child of God and then you became a child of God and everything was new? All your attitudes changed, your relationship, your want and desires. I go back to a time where I remember I accepted Christ and everything became like, wow, this is great. I'm a Christian now. Man, I love this stuff, you know? The Bible even says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, you know, your memories and all your habits and stuff like that's not new. But, I mean, your attitude, you're just the inside, just to know that God is with you and being with you on a daily basis, it's spectacular. Galatians 6:15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Everything's new. This is what the Bible says for those who are truly saved. You are secured in Christ. There's nothing you can do to not be secured. Once you're secured in Christ, you cannot be not secure in a grasp. I love what the pastor said this last Sunday. Jesus Christ has them in the palm of his hand, and then God secures them even more. I mean, I love that. That was spectacular. Now, I do, see, my wife doesn't think I pay attention when the preacher preaches, but I do every once in a while. Come up with some nuggets. So John chapter 10, verse 27 says, my sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my father, out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is ever to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And I like what he said. He went on further just to tick off those guys that were like Pharisees and that were hanging around him and bugging him with all these questions. He said, I and my Father are one. Oh, boy, that was just a dig right into him. Digging him. I loved it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Isaiah 53, 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. I love the old song. And if you take a second, if you want to take a look at it, it's hymn number 131, and it's Jesus paid it all. And if you look at some of the words on here, thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Lord, now indeed I find thy power, and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. For nothing good have I whereby thy grace to claim, I'll wash my garments white, where? In the blood of Calvary's Lamb. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died, my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. What about being secure in Christ? What does it mean to be secure in Christ? It means you never have to worry about your eternal destination. It means you have somebody that has your back no matter what Satan or your own flesh even makes you think about your eternal destiny. You know, if you doubt your salvation, what are you doubting? You must have something to doubt, correct? I mean, makes sense. Do you believe that Jesus, once saved, has the power to keep us saved? It means that your soul is secured forever, not just when you die, but the very second you get saved. You know what? I'm not saved once I die. I'm saved now. So if Jesus comes back, I don't have to die to be saved. I'm already saved. So when Jesus comes back, he's going to take me by the hand. It's like he took Stephen by the hand and said, come on up. That, to me, is like unbelievable. So let's look at this. And the pastor said, I said spiritual logic, and yeah, based on spiritual reality. So let's look at this in a spiritually logical way. First of all, we have to recognize that God does not work in our time. God does not have to work in time at all. Time means nothing to God. So how many sins did you commit before Jesus died on the cross? How many? None. You weren't born yet, so you hadn't committed any sins because Jesus paid for all your sins before you were even born. So how many sins did Christ die for when he died on the cross? The answer is all of them. So of the sins that you committed since you were born into sin, how many of them were not under the blood of Jesus Christ? None. So how many sins will you commit in the flesh that are not paid for by Christ already? The answer? None. Therefore, there's no sin that can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ, the salvation of Jesus Christ. I love what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, and this is my last point here. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors than him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So in conclusion, sins in your future were already paid for in the past by Jesus Christ and his shed blood on the cross. Father, thank you for the time that you've given me. Lord, no, it wasn't a lengthy sermon, wasn't lengthy at all, but it's what you gave me. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to understand that there's nothing that we can do to separate us, and that we can be separated from the love that you have for us. And I just pray that you would help us to, not because of where we're going, or not because we need to do anything to keep our salvation, but because you loved us, that we should do what you would want us to do. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.